Amen. Let's turn to a very familiar text tonight. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. I'll be there in a few minutes. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. You know, where we are right now in our time, okay, the days that we're living in, we're living in the last days. Amen. We're living in perilous times. And so with all that being said, we have to have, especially beginning, I tell you, right now, not yesterday, but right this minute, today, we have to have a mindset, because we live in a very dark and decaying culture. Do you understand? It's full of corruption. But we expect that because the Bible tells us that that's going to happen. And we live in a crazy world that's getting crazier we used to say every year. Now it's every day. You know what I mean? And so the powers of darkness, they've done an incredible job, if you will, if I could put it that way, of socially isolating the saints of God. Did you know that?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. And that not only have they socially isolated the saints of God, they have also done the same thing with the rest of this digital world that we live in. And so we live now in a world that has been perfectly groomed for the loneliness that it's experiencing. I mean, it's perfect, the things that has happened. And matter of fact, not making fun of anything tonight, but we can make fun of it, but we shouldn't. And that is the world that we live in now, because of the loneliness, because of the isolation, the world has created companions. You can have friends online. Do you know what I'm saying? And meaning what I say that, you can even have AI companions. Artificial intelligence. Let me give you the story. Just came out a couple of days ago from the Daily Wire. It says that Karen Marjorie, a 23-year-old influencer who has more than 1.8 million followers on Snapchat, she came up with a novel idea to connect with followers and make some cash. It says that she created an artificial intelligence chatbot that she dubbed Karen AI, and users of the chatbot, they pay her $1 a minute to engage with her. And guess what she says? They ask her, well, how did it work? She says, well, I made $70,000 in a single week during its beta test, okay? To $70,000 in 1 week. And she thinks it could probably make or rake in as much as $5 million a month once it's fully up and running. And she says, well, it'll never replace me, she said, but it's simply an extension of me, an extension of my consciousness. With so many followers, she said she couldn't, keep touch with everyone, so her AI self or whatever is going to come and fill the gap. Now, listen to what she says. She added, and she says this, well, that the AI girlfriend might be able to cure loneliness. Whether you need someone comforting you or loving you, or you just want someone to rant about something that has just happened at school or work, Karen AI will always be there for you. Loved one, that is real. Do you understand that? This is real. Matter of fact, let me tell you how real this is. Do you know what happened yesterday in the United States government with the judiciary's meeting that they just had? The Senate, when they met? Do you know what they met over privately yesterday? They met over the problem of artificial intelligence and what's coming, what's already there, what's already happening. Does that make sense? Let me read what happened yesterday during the hearing of the Senate Judiciary meeting as they met on technology. The members expressed deep fears about the rapid evolution of artificial intelligence. Here's what they said. Repeatedly suggesting that recent advances could be more transformative than the internet. You remember AOL? You know how far we have come since AOL? Remember when you used to load it, take 10 days or whatever? Huh? Now listen to what they said. More transformative, they said, the Senate than the internet. are as risky as the atomic bomb. Sam Altman, who was there at this dinner with the committee, who's the CEO of OpenAI, in addition to creating, he said, new regulatory agency, he's proposing creating a set of safety standards for AI models. Here, why? Listen to why. Testing whether they could go rogue and start acting on their own. Do you know that last year they shut down a complete system of AI, whatever it is, computers, because the scientists lost control of them? They literally started talking to themselves and creating their own language that the inventors knew nothing of. Now, I'm telling you that this is going to be an issue that we're all going to be facing. Does that make sense? And so the message, the reason I'm teaching this tonight is because I think that we need to review the basics right now. I think because the basics are very important. You never get away from the basics. They're foundational, amen? And so every Christian, whoever you are, no matter what denomination you are, you wake up every morning and you get out of bed, and whether you believe it or not, you enter the battlefield. There's no way around it. You may not believe that or think that way, but here's the problem. We live right now in enemy territory. This is enemy territory. Do you understand? 1 John 5:19, it says the whole world lies in the sway of the wicked one, meaning the world that is antichrist and that is organized against God, amen? That doesn't want anything to do with God. And I'll tell you, it doesn't take a prophet to look out and see the cultural landscape and the ongoing terrible destruction of people. We're in a crisis in our nation. Young people killing themselves. You can't even go to a mall or even a church or anywhere today. You can't even walk into the parking lot and know if somebody's going to start shooting. We live in a crazy world. And loved one, with all of this destruction going on, it even has affected believers. Do you understand? Yeah. You know, did you see what the main article the other day on what to do, why people, the mass shootings, that the one word that is it's producing among people, the one word was this: fear. I want to go buy a gun. And nothing wrong with having a gun. We have our rights to do that. But you know what? Today, nearly everybody is armed. And then you go home and you're still armed. You got to unlock the armed door to get into the door. You got cameras everywhere. You got guard dogs, guard cats, you know. No. And here's what's happening. The enemy is doing his best to do something very with subtleness. And that is to, like I told you last Sunday or Wednesday, to slowly remove the book from our hands. Does that make sense? And why would he want to do that? I mean, why? Why would he even care about that? It's because we have in our possession the only book in the entire world, the only book in the entire world that gives us the details about mankind's greatest enemy. Do you understand? The only book in the world. It's the Word of God. And you know what it tells us? Number one, it tells us that we are in a real war with a real enemy. And it tells us who that enemy is. No other book does that. Not only that, it tells us the enemy, our enemy, his beginning. It tells us how he came about. It tells us his end. He's going to end up in the lake of fire. Amen. And not only that, it tells us his battle plans. Isn't that amazing? The Bible gives us the battle plans of the enemy, the wiles, the methods, the strategies of the wicked one, his schemes. Now, it also tells us that he is real, that he exists, but that he exists defeated. And the battle has already been won for us. Amen. 1 John 3:8, let me read it to you. It says, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." The works of the devil. He comes to steal, he comes to kill and destroy. Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life, have it more abundantly." We know in Colossians 2:15, when Jesus died on the cross, having disarmed the principalities and powers, amen? It's over with. They're defeated, all of them, every demon, every fallen angel, and the wicked one himself. They're all defeated, loved one. The other thing is about the Bible is it tells us what we must know and what we must believe, that he is, again, the defeated one, but you're not. You have to know that. You have to believe that in your heart. You know, Satan is the lover of open doors. Ephesians 4:27, give no opportunity for the devil, amen? No opportunity. That means don't open a door for him. He is a lover of just, please, just give me a crack, just a little bit to ease my way in, just a small part of your life or a small part of your thinking. Let me influence you just a little bit. That's all he desires. Loved one, listen, the Bible says this in 1 John 2:14. It says, I've written to you, young man, because you are strong. Now listen to why they're strong. It says, you are strong and the word of God abides or lives in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Do you believe that? Now, so why, if we believe that, why are so many Christians, why are they casualties today? You know, during the Vietnam era, and I say this without, I served, okay, I was Army. And I did my time, I served my nation, I love my nation. But there was a saying back then about a certain branch of the military, and we call them weekend warriors. Anybody remember that? And a weekend warrior was the one just, well, they trained on the weekends, and they were the National Guard or whatnot, and thank God for them, there's nothing wrong with that. But that was just, we're out here full time and they weren't. Well, here's the reason I said that is that, no offense, come on, lighten up. We all got our medals, didn't we? A weekend warrior is something we can't be. Do you understand? You have to be a warrior every day. And you have to have that right mindset in your life, okay? You're in a battle. And listen to me now. You're going to be in a battle no matter how much you pray, no matter how much you know the Word of God. You are going to be in this battle until the day you go home to heaven. There's absolutely no way around it. And we have to be prepared. No army ever goes in the battle unprepared. Amen? If they do, are they going to suffer casualties? Absolutely. We can't do that. So what are we to do in the midst? Here we are, 2023, in nearly 6 months, or close to 6 months being left, or over 6 months for the year is going to end. 2024 begins. What are we going to do? Well, we have to right now start engaging ourselves in the right thinking, the right mindset, okay? And remind ourselves, especially tonight, of the basics of the armor of God. And if we look there in Ephesians 6:10, look at it with me. Here's what we're to do. Paul the Apostle says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his what? Of his might. I'm going to ask you a question. Can you find any more person more powerful than God? No. The Bible says, Ephesians 3:20, for God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we may ask or think according to the power, the dunamis that's working in us right now. Oh, listen, where do you begin? You have to be, number one, your strength is in the Lord. And number two, there's no other place to get this power. It is only from God. And you have this power. Listen, the devil, he wants you to fight him without the power of God. Remember what Paul told the Corinthian church. He said in 2 Corinthians 10:3, he says, for we walk in the flesh. We live in the flesh, but we do not war in the flesh. Amen? He goes on, he says, for the weapons of our warfare, that means we're in a war. They are not carnal. They're not of this world. He says, but they're mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. So what does that tell us? It tells us that we cannot depend on any human weapon. We can only depend on heavenly weapons. Amen? See, now listen, we have an invisible enemy. and you can't fight him with fleshly weapons. It's an impossibility. You understand that? Okay. In other words, no human strength, no human plan, no human weapon can defeat the powers of darkness. So finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might, and look what he tells you to do. Put on. That's something we do. We're responsible. Put on the whole armor of God, and look at the reason, that you may be able to what? Say that word one more time. Stand against the wiles, the methods, the trickery, the strategies, the plans of the devil. I want you to catch this. This is so important. If you don't get anything else tonight, the next minute or two, you've got to get this or you will not get it. How's that sound? Okay? And the first thing you have to see in the verses I just read, it is not your armor. It is God's armor. Does that make sense? That is so important. And it says that you have to equip yourself with God's honor. It says, put it on. And then there's that one word that when you leave here tonight, I never want you to forget. It's vital that you catch just this one word tonight, and it's the word stand. That is a military word in the Greek, and it just means stand your position. It means to hold your place. Look at verse 13. It says, not only does it say withstand, it says and stand in the same verse. Verse 14, it says stand. Now let me ask you a question. Why would the writer, Paul, why would he use that word over and over? Why would he use it four times? Don't miss now the most important battle plan. And here it is. It's that one word, and that word is stand. Just stand right where you are. Just stand. Four times he says that. Does Paul say stand or does he say fight? He says stand. Does he say run? Does he say fall apart? Does he say let your heart be terrified? No, verse 11, stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 13, withstand in the evil day, and having all done to stand. Verse 14, stand therefore. Now listen carefully. We are in a battle. God and the adversary, here's what he wants. He wants this desperately. He wants you to fight. Does that make sense? He wants you to fight, but God says, I don't want you to fight. I want you to stand, to stand. That's all you have to do is stand. That's the reason I'm, it's because I want you to get this. Do you understand? James 4:7, the Bible tells us, therefore, submit to God. And what did we just learn? God said, stand. Okay, I'm submitting to God. Resist the devil, and he will what? Flee. He will flee in terror from you. Now, first of all, the first thing you have to do is submit to God. I'm standing. You said stand, but I want to fight. I've got to do something. He says, don't just stand. Stand in an upright position. Keep your feet down. Shut up and just stand. Amen? That's what he says to do. He says, that's all you have to do. Submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee or run from you. That is a command, James 4:7, but it's followed with a promise. Now listen, we are to simply do one thing, stand. Why? God says, you stand and you watch what I do. I'll fight your battle if you will obey me. Does that make sense? He says, oh, you just stand. I'm going to fight your battles. Now listen, so what do we do? By faith, it's God's will that you stand and not be the devil's victim, but the victor in the battle. Listen, you got to know your enemy. You have to know him. Why does he want you to fight him? Because you're going to lose. Do you understand? He wants you to say, I'm going to bind to that. It's funny, Christians out binding the devil, they don't even know what justification is. They don't even know what propitiation is. They don't even know what sanctification is. I'm binding this, you know? That felt good. Loved one, listen to me now. The enemy, why does he want you to fight? Because you're going to lose. Why does he want you to fight? Because he wants to rule. Why does he want you to fight? Because he wants control. Why does he want you to fight? The one thing he desires more than anything is advantage over you. He doesn't want you to be obedient to God. He wants you to think that word stand means to put your boxing gloves on. Do you understand? No. Oh, he's a deceiver. He's a liar. Do you understand? Now, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, which is infinite, amen, and put on, this is our part again, put on the whole armor of God, literally all the weapons of God, and look why, that you may be able, there's that word, stand against the methods, the wiles, the strategies of the devil, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Now, is the church of Jesus Christ, are we ignorant of Satan's devices? Well, you know what Paul just said? He says, we don't fight flesh and blood. That means that people are not our enemies. Do you understand that? See, if we start attacking each other, that's exactly what he wants. See, Satan's method is this, don't fight me, fight one another. You see, in other words, don't fight darkness. I want you to go tear apart the light of the world. That way I can put your light out. Does that make sense? See, that's what he wants us to do. Look at the next one. But we do wrestle against what? Principalities, that rank and rule, if you will. Against powers. Now that word is dunamis. It means this. It means demons who have power and under Satan's control, and they hate all of mankind. Demons that are fallen angels. Loved one, listen to me. They are an extension of the wicked one, his character, and all that he desires to do. And the main goal of demons and Satan, the number one goal is to blind man from the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ that they might be saved. He doesn't want anyone saved. Look at the next part. Against the rulers, plural, rulers, literally of this darkness, of this age. You know, that word is only there in the Greek in this one place in Scripture. World rulers of darkness, plural. Satan and his angels. They're the world system that is Antichrist. Now listen, they're so wicked. They allow the lost. Look at it again. Rulers of darkness of this age, they allow the lost that do not know Christ to live their lives in undisturbed darkness. They don't want to disturb that. Oh, no, they don't want to do that at all. And they don't realize that they unknowingly, they love darkness. They are comfortable in darkness. They are held captive in darkness by the prince of darkness, impossible to free themselves, but we can free them because we have the gospel. We have the good news. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Amen? It's powerful. Jesus put it this way in John 12:46. He says, I've come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide or live in darkness. Praise the Lord. We're not in darkness. You know, the description in the Bible of Satan, he's called an angel of light. You know what he does? He makes dark things. He makes darkness appear as light, as good, but they're not good. They're always to capture people. And look at the next verse, verse 15. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, preparation just simply means the state of being ready. It means that you stand having your feet firm, planted on the ground. It doesn't mean that you're not prepared to be ready. Amen? You're ready for action. So it tells us that we are to stand firm in battle, and as we are in that battle, we are to stand in peace. Have you ever been in a battle and there's peace? But that's exactly what he's saying. This is not about the gospel of peace here. Has nothing to do with being an evangelist, okay? Or evangelizing. In context, that would be totally wrong. We're talking about the armor of God, amen? So this gospel of peace right here is that we're to stand in peace in the midst of the battle. Why? Because you know it, I know it. When we are in the battle, are we kind of looking around where we might find a little peace? Come on, are y'all with me? Yeah, come on. We're going, okay, I got to search, man. How can I get out of here, man? This storm is just overtaking me, you know, and so forth. He says, no. See, we stand in peace in battle because we know that peace is not running someplace else. In other words, peace is not a location. Peace is a person, amen? Jesus said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. Let your heart be not troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen. Afraid of nothing. Philippians, 4:6, be anxious for nothing. Nothing. Don't be torn apart. Don't be worried about anything. Be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the God of peace that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, who can guard? He will guard the two areas that Satan attacks, your mind, your heart. Amen? Now, who can disturb the peace of God? No one. The Bible says in, what is it, Ephesians 2:11, for he himself, Jesus, he is our peace, loved one. So you stand in what God has already given you. You stand in the peace of Christ. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Amen? Now, look at the next one. And above all, top priority now, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all, not 25%, not 30%, all the fiery darts of the wicked one. In other words, whatever he is throwing at you in this battle. So he says to stand, we have to stand in faith. Listen to me now. If you're not standing in faith, well, there's no victory and there's no shield. It's a shield of faith. Now, Satan hates you and Satan hates faith. Therefore, he always targets your faith. Always. See, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:6 that it's impossible to please God without faith. Amen? We must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And only the shield of faith, nothing else, quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked one. He throws every day. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever just wake up and go, you're in a great mood and about 4 hours later, you're discouraged? Yes. Have you ever heard of the dart of discouragement? All you have to do is lift up the shield of faith. Does that make sense? And you can quench it. Or, God's not going to help me. There's another one. You know, da 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 da. I mean, all day long. Do you think he's throwing things probably at me right now? Boom, boom, boom. Huh? Do you understand? We are in a war. And listen to me. Darkness, you think it's dark now. It's not as dark as it's going to get. That's why we have to know who we are. We have to know who we're in, and we have to know what we believe. Amen? So we know the Word of God. We don't have to fight. All we have to do is stand and do what God has told us to do. And he says, look at verse 17 now, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Take the helmet of salvation. Where does Satan attack us at? There you go. And it's the weakest area, isn't it? He always comes the weakest area. We put that helmet on the weakest area of our body, and that is our minds. And that's the place that he desires most. The father of all lies. Boy, he wants to touch you there. That's why we have to renew our minds to the Word of God. Amen? Ephesians 4:23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Very important. Every day being in God's Word. Now, here, the helmet of salvation. Satan wants you in the battle. He wants you to feel unsure that you're saved. Always. Well, this wouldn't be happening to you right now. You wouldn't be going through this hell if God really loved you. You see, but you're not really saved. Look what you did last week. Come on. Yeah, he wants you unsure of your salvation. Not only that, but God wants you sure of your salvation. He wants, listen, God wants you to settle on the finished work of Christ Jesus. You know what? Turn, let's just do something. Hold your place. Turn back to Ephesians, I think it's chapter 1. Let me read it to you. Oh, the Bible, I hear those pages. Oh, you're such sweet. Oh, now look at chapter 1 of Ephesians and look at verse 13. Talking about our salvation. Watch this. In him you also trusted. When? Well, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. It says, in whom also having believed, that's past tense, loved one, having believed, look what happened. It says, in whom having believed, you were sealed. Remember, the seal denotes ownership and security. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the what? That word means the guarantee of our inheritance. Well, how long? Until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. And let's all say amen. 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 So how long are we saved? Well, until the very end. He's going to get us home. Amen. So you're in the midst of the battle. Everything's falling apart. And what happens is it becomes accumulative. In other words, this thing happens, then the kids, then the job, then the this, then your best friend. Oh, you know what I mean? Everything. And you feel, I have no peace, but you do have peace. But you forgot to do something. You forgot to put on the helmet of salvation and say, no one can ever take me out of the hands of Jesus Christ. No one. I belong to him. He bought me. He purchased me. I am his and he is mine. I am now the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He lives in me. I live in him. It is no longer I who liveth, but Christ who lives in me, Paul said. Now, with all of that, he says, okay, now we're not unsure. No matter what's falling around us, we're okay, but we're not fighting, we're standing. See, when we take action, we kind of fail. If we let God take action, we always win. Now, look at verse 17. Again, now take, it's a command, of course, take the helmet of salvation, another command. And take the sword of the Spirit, and it tells us what the sword of the Spirit is. It's the source, it says, which is the word of God, our only offensive weapon. Now listen, Satan knows that the sword of the Spirit is the greatest supernatural weapon on planet Earth. You know why? This book that we hold, it is alive, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen? It's the word of God. It never returns to him void. He speaks and it is done. Amen? And so, the sword of the Spirit. Listen, Satan knows that without the word of God, he wants to keep you from it. He knows without the word of God that the man of God is incomplete. He's not complete. The man of God is not equipped at all for every good work. He can do nothing. He has to have the word of God. He knows that. Now listen. Therefore, his greatest attack is against the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. And listen to me now. He, the devil, the powers of darkness, they will do anything, no matter what it is, in their power, man, to cause Christians and pastors and seminaries or whatever you want to call it to not really fully give you the complete counsel of God. In other words, they water it down. We live in a watered down, anemic Christianity today because the word of God is not fully being preached. Do you understand? Well, listen, you'll never grow without the full, all 66 books, because all 66 books are swords. Does that make sense? They're swords of the Spirit, loved one. And we need to stand in that right there. He doesn't want you to open your Bibles, and he certainly doesn't want you to hide the Word of God in your hearts. He doesn't want that at all. No. Remember this. Remember that Jesus Christ, our Lord, he used no other weapon in the Bible, no other weapon in the Gospels, no other weapon against the devil except the Word of God. That's it. Remember one in the temptation scene, just that one thing, that one scripture that he used. I call them wilderness scriptures because they're, if you read the Matthew 4, all of it, you'll find that all the scriptures Jesus used are from Deuteronomy. And Jesus said to the devil, whenever he was tempted, come on, you know, chew on this, you know, turn that stone into bread. I know you're hungry. I haven't eaten in 40 days. You look like you're about to pass out. I'm adding the scripture, of course, you know. But that's true. He was. He was hungry. He was starving. And Jesus looked at him and he says in Matthew 4:4, it is written. Literally, it stands written. It will always be written and it will never change. Man shall live by the word of God. Man shall live by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Amen? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And that's what we're to do. You see, we can sit there. We're standing. We don't have our fist up in the air. Everything is falling down all around us. And he wants you to think you're going to fall down with him. But you're not. You're not going to fall down. What did Paul say? He said, listen, when I am knocked down, I might be knocked down, but I am never knocked out. Amen? Amen. Never. Oh, my body, yeah, my outer man is perishing, but my inner man, it's being renewed every day. Every day. I may be looking bad on the outside, but I'm looking good on the inside. Amen? Loved one, listen, we have to stand. I mean stand. Stand and watch what God does. The darkness is approaching. 2024 is approaching. I don't know what's coming. I don't have a clue. I'm praying. I'm asking, but I know whatever it is, we have to stand now. Amen? Because the Word of God tells us to do that. And then it tells us something that most people never even think is part of the armor of God. Look at verse 18. Praying sometimes with, oh, I'm sorry. That's that other version. Praying always, meaning on any occasion, whatever it is, wherever you are, always. How? With all prayer or all kinds of prayer. Supplication in the what? Spirit, capital S. Did you catch that? Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and all supplication for all the saints. Now listen, listen very carefully. You know why I think that Christians, well, prayer is the most neglected spiritual discipline in the body of Christ, okay? We just do make-believe prayers, you know, stuff like that. Well, I prayed 2 minutes and it's good enough, you know. I prayed over my food, you know. Bless me, my form, whatever. Listen to me now. Satan is the god of this age. He's the fallen god of this age. And he hates prayer. He hates it. Because he knows that we end our prayer to the Father, we end it in the greatest name in the universe, the name of Jesus. Does that make sense? He hates the name of Jesus because every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. Amen? So listen, here's the deal. Here's this world that we live in. And he, of course, is the God, little g, the God of this world, the prince of power, the prince of darkness, all those things. And he doesn't want one prayer uttered in his territory. Do you understand? And that's why he comes against your praying. You start praying, you know it, I know it. Every thought starts coming into your mind. You're in your quiet time. Nobody's up in your house but you. The door is shut in your little room wherever you pray, or there on the couch, or maybe you pray in the bed. It doesn't matter as long as you pray. And all of a sudden you start praying, oh, Lord, Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. Hallowed be thy name. And then you have 15 things that come into your mind. Come on. And you're going, that wasn't me. It's 5 a.m. I can't even think like that at 5 a.m. Do you understand? And where does that come from? It doesn't come from the Holy Spirit. He wants to bombard your mind. He doesn't want you to pray. He doesn't care if you believe in prayer. He doesn't care if you talk about prayer as long as you don't pray. Why? Why? Listen to me now. Satan, our adversary, the devil, the serpent, the wicked one, Apollyon, the deceiver, the father of all lies. Listen to me now. He hates prayer. Prayer is a weapon. Do you understand? Let's go back. Let's think it this way. He hates the throne of grace. We've been studying the throne of grace. He hates the throne of grace. Why? He knows who's there. He knows who's seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. Amen? He knows that. And he knows that he has been given all power in heaven and upon this earth. All authority resides in him. He knows that the great high priest sits right there. The one who defeated him and the one who he destroyed. Remember, who had the power of death? The devil. He destroyed him who had the power of death, that is, of the devil. And Jesus did that. And listen to me now. He will do anything to discourage you from going there in prayer. And if that doesn't work, he will do something else. He will do anything in his power to limit your time in prayer. You understand? You know, sometimes, when we pray, sometimes we don't have to talk. You know, sometimes it's good to listen. Father, I come to you this morning in Jesus' name. I praise you. I love you. I give you honor, O God, and glory. Here I am. Your servant is listening. And you just be still before the Lord. Be quiet and just wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Praying with all kinds of prayer. Does that make sense? We are in a war, and there you are standing in prayer or sitting in prayer. The posture is not important. It's just that you are praying, loved one. Don't let him discourage you, because that's what he wants to do. Now, Satan fears the throne of grace because he knows something. He knows that when a blood-bought, spirit-filled believer goes there, he can freely find things that are available for him. Let me read it to you. You know the scripture. We studied it last week, 2 weeks, whenever it was. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. And here's the reason: that we may, not might, that we may obtain mercy. See, there's free things for us there. We can obtain mercy, not for salvation, love, when we're already saved. Amen? It says, and find grace in time of need. Listen to me. Satan knows that we are the only people on the planet that stand in the divine, unmerited, unearned favor of God. He knows that. Satan knows that we're the only people on earth that have access to God the Father without condemnation. Amen? He knows that. He doesn't want us to go there. Loved one, we're the only people on earth that know how to get there. There's only one way to enter. It's by Jesus Christ and no one else, in our relationship with him. Praying always, look at it, always, any occasion, all kinds of prayer, supplication, and look at it now again. How do we do it? In the Spirit. Satan fears Spirit-filled prayer. Prayers that are in agreement with the Holy Spirit, where he helps us to pray. Amen? Walking in agreement with the Word of God. Boy, can you imagine that? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. To the church in agreement with God in prayer. And that's what he's afraid of. See, it says in the Spirit, he wants believers ignorant of the Holy Spirit. He wants them afraid of the Holy Spirit. The devil wants the believer to treat the Holy Spirit as an essence or a force or a language and so forth. That's what he wants. Loved one, listen to me. He never wants you to treat him as a person. He never wants you to treat him as a third person of the Trinity. No, not at all. Listen, he wants you to treat the Holy Spirit as a doctrine. as a doctrine, but not a person. And yes, the Holy Spirit is a doctrine, a teaching. He is the Spirit of truth, but he is also a person. You can't grieve or make sad an essence or a force. Do you understand? Yes, no. So it says there, praying in the Spirit. Now watch this. And then it tells us to be watchful. Stay awake. Be alert. It says, be alert. Now, what is that? Do you know, if you look that word watching there, look it up. You know what it literally means? It means lying sleepless. Isn't that, you know, you're lying there, but you're awake. You know, remember the disciples when they, Jesus, can you not tarry with me 1 hour in prayer? Remember, and he went over there, and there they were sleeping. Peter puts it this way in 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things is at hand. The end of all, he said, you have to be expectant. You have to be watchful. He says, therefore, be serious and watchful, not sleeping. Be watchful in your prayers. And then he says, watch, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. All perseverance. That's that never giving up. That's persistent prayer. Luke 18:1, Jesus said, men ought always to pray and never faint, never give up. Don't ever become discouraged. Matthew 7:7, what did Jesus say? Ask and he seek and knock. He said, do those things. Keep on asking, keep on seeking. James 4:4, you have not because you ask not. But look at the object of our prayers. It says all the saints. Why? Because we're all in the same battle. We're all in the same war. We should be encouraging each other. Stand. Don't fight. Stand. Just do exactly what it says. Stand. Put those feet down. Stand right now. And look, oh, God's going to take care of you. Oh, there's that problem. I'm surrounded. Circumstances, that means to be surrounded, okay? And so here we are. You're surrounded with every circumstance you can imagine. And God says, just stand. Don't be afraid. He says, every one of those things, if you will stand in my power, with my armor, with my might, if you will just obey me, if you will stand, I'm telling you, you'll see everything fall away from you. That's all you have to do is be obedient to God. Now, listen to me. The moment you are obedient to God, the moment you stand, the power comes. Why? He's commanding you to do something. His commandments are our enablements. Amen? And that's all we have to do is do what he says to do. We really must, as we move the months ahead, we're moving quickly. Boy, this year is going by so fast, guys. And I know it's time to go. But listen to me. We got to wake up out of our sleep if we're sleeping. The time is at hand. The day is short. I'm telling you, we need to do what God says. You know, listen, you know, prayer without faith is not prayer. Did you know that? No matter how good it sounds, and no matter how you persevere, and if it's not in faith, there's no prayer there. God doesn't hear it. Do you understand? No. We must be a body of believers that rise up and truly believe that all authority, Matthew 28:18, all authority has been given unto Jesus in heaven upon earth. All authority. He has all of it. God, Jesus rules this world. He governs this world through the church. He's the head of the church. Amen? And we have to understand that. Let's be about the Lord's business, not the world's business. For this world is passing away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever and ever and ever. I close with these words. I just want to read them. Stand therefore. I wrote down, don't fight. Simply stand and watch the Lord battle for you. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this word. Thank you, Lord, for just the privilege of these last two Wednesdays being here with your sheep, Lord, teaching in your pulpit. And Lord, I'm thankful for that. Now, from now on, Lord, we're standing. We're just going to stand because you told us, you commanded us, and that's what we're going to do. And we give you praise tonight because we know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And praise God it has. So we love you, Lord. Bless your people tonight. Bless your saints on the way home tonight. Meet every need. Let them rise up with joy in their heart, O God. Let them shout unto the Lord. We are your people, the sheep of your pasture, and we love you in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? Good things are coming, amen? Amen. Good things. I just believe it with all of my heart. I pray you have a great rest of the week. I pray that you go back now tonight or tomorrow morning in your quiet time, and in the Bibles that you use, that you mark them all up. That's a good thing. Boy, put the right color on stand. Amen? That's what we need. So the Lord bless you. We're going to have, if anyone needs prayer, you know, when we close out with song, there'll be people here to pray for each and every need. So let's sing to the Lord tonight, shall we? God is so good. God is so good.
God is so good.
He's so good to me. And I love him so. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. I love him so.
Thank you, Lord. I love him so. He's so good to me. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you in Jesus' name.